boy, and some tidings passed on to me by my parents. Now then, my father came to the parish to work as a shepherd for Gilbert G.M. Jones in 1888.
And your father's name was?
Frederick Moore.
Yes.
Aye. In 1894, he started farming in Enamora. While working for the Jones family, the Joneses farmed Sledgeby, Ballacottia, Clipsmore, Gubnagay, Moni Mullach, and the Keppel Mountain.
And the Moni Mullach is between Gubnagay and Langegan.
That is correct. That is correct. The Hug family lived in Honey Hill Farm, at Fanny Hill Farm at that time. The Cleelands were in Jagan. The Creas in Clips. The Bowels and the Quines in Each Conrenny. The Hugs were followed in Honey Hill by the Nelsons, then the Ardens, who were English people, the Cretneys, and then later Honey Hill Farm was sold to the Douglas Water Board. At that time, there was another farm on the big field on the left of Honey Hill Road going up, called Silbrick. Lower down the road at the end of the Clips Road is the remains of a house in the top corner of the field, and apparently it was occupied by a man called Jimmy Brew, and it is field was always called Jimmy Brew's field.
Did those Cretneys be any of Elsie Cretney's husbands?
Who's Alfie Cretney?
Would the Cretneys be any of Elsie Cretney's, who was married later to Jim? She was Elsie Cowan Solby, who was married to Jim Cretney. And the family of now at, or were at Ballacrink at Santon until they gave up farming.
Now, I cannot say that they were not related in any way, but they were a different family altogether. I don't think there's any of those Cretneys about now. I'm surprised that you don't remember them.
No, I remember the Kellys who were in Clepsmore and then went to Honus.
Yes, when they went to Honus, the Cretneys came from Honey Hill to Clips.
Oh. Well, who was in the Grange at this time?
Ditchfield.
Would that Ditchfield, not Alder?
No. Ditchfield came in before that time.
Yes.
Now, where was I? The Creas.
The Creas were Lily Creas' family.
That's correct. Kayleys, Jubilees. Where did I stop?
You're talking about Jimmy Brew's field.
Aye, well, Jim, the Bowles was followed by the Bells, that's where we were, and the Kayleys, the father of the Reverend James Kayley, who was over here for the Millennium. The Muller Creest and later Harry Nichols. The Hughes family at that time, in 1900, lived in our cottage up in the fields.
Oh, yes.
And before that, I'm getting personalities now. And before the Hughes, a family of Quines, and one of those Quines was Bert Corkle's grandmother.
Well, would the Hughes be any of Sissy Hughes and Arthur Hughes, who later went to the house at the bottom of your road?
The very people.
Yes.
The very people. Now, the Crees sold off in 1917 and Robert Fell took over. Right?
Yes.
And a little note put in here that George Cannon, Tim's father, you remember
Yes.
Tim
very
well, they lived in the cottage in the Grange. Cottage at the end of the Grange Road at that time. Sam Alder was in the Grange, but it was taken over by Ditchfield approximately 1911, and he sold out 1926, and then Robert Fell farmed both the Clips and the Grange together. J.T. Beale farmed the Lower Ballacotia. You remember
Yes.
talking when he farmed the Lower Ballacotia in the 1900 and 1906. The Kellys were in the Clips Moor, and the Kellys left the Clips Moor and went to Shoness.
Yes.
I haven't got the exact dates
No.
for all these things, but about the 1911, and Jimmy Beale shifted from the Lower Ballacotia up to Clips. I remember these things quite well. Like, I've got a note here that William Cowan was in Clips Big. You heard about him, I suppose.
Yes, well, that was my grandfather.
That would be Mr. Brown's grandfather. I knew him quite well.
I never remembered him, but I remember grandmother, of course. But when would they move into the ordinary Clips?
They never did.
They would. She was living with Fanny and Goldie in
Yes.
Clips when I remember her.
Yes, well, that's Clips Big.
Yes. Yes.
Who?
That's where they were farming all along.
Oh, William Cowan was in Clips Big. When my father came.
Yes.
To in the morning anyway, and probably before that.
Yes.
But my father bought a cart rail at that sale when he sold up. You see, the Clips Big was rather bigger in those days, before the Kerridoo Reservoir was taken out of it, you see. Understand me? And as passing, I might say the Clips Reservoir was completed just around the time that my father went to Enamora, in about 1900. And the Kerridoo Reservoir was opened before that. And the Goldsmiths was in Kerridoo. It's my first memory. But the Quilliams, there were two brothers of them, Robbie and what was the other name, Mother?
Hmm?
Arthur.
Yes.
There was two brothers, Robbie Quilliam and Arthur Quilliam. One was in Kerridoo and the other was in Ballacane, Johnson's Ballacane. And that's before my time. That was probably not about 1895. The Cretneys here again was in Matt Clegg's place.
Well, I think they owned that.
And I would like to find, I'm trying to find some connection with the owners. I don't know, can I not?
Well, you... But the only reason I know they owned it is that when Mother died, our lawyer told us that they owned it.
What? Oh, the Cretneys?
Yes.
But you don't know who Cretneys are, what Cretneys?
No, no. But I think that Matt Clegg eventually bought it from the estate.
Yes, I believe he did.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe he did. We leave it at that. The Kermodes were in the other blig. But the Canines were in Belig before the Kermans. I'm referring to Bob Cowan's wife. She was a Canine.
Oh, don't know that side of it.
No.
That wouldn't be anything of Uncle Goldie's.
Not that I know of.
No.
Bob Cowan's wife was John Joe Cowley's wife and Willie Calvel-Mona's wife. They're three sisters.
Yes.
And I understand they were in Blig, Kermit Blig's place. And while we're in that area, and at this time, at the turn of the century, the Gailies and Captain Kerr lived in Brookfield. You know Brookfield?
Yes, well, remember the Kerrs in Brookfield, and I can remember the Gailies. One of them, I think, married Quiggin the painter's
That's
daughter.
Kit is the oldest one there. What was her name? Gertie?
No, Flo. Flo Quiggin.
Is that the oldest one? Long dead now, I think.
No, she's still alive down in Gosport Hands.
Aye.
Yes, Flo is still alive. She was over here last summer.
Oh. And the Christians, the Rooks, was in... Oh, shouldn't say that. They were in Brookbank.
Oh. Well, the first I remember in Brookbank is Heaps.
Yeah. And I remember the Christians. Johnny Christian lived down here. He died not long ago. He lived in Brookbank.
Oh,
as
yes.
A young fella.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Mason.
I think we better...
No, wouldn't it... Oh, yes, Jack's father, not Norman's, no, Jack's father. Yes. Now, we were talking about the Cleelands being in...
In Jagan?
Yes. When did they go to Langegan?
Well, we're coming to that.
Oh, yes, all right then, sorry.
It will come back.
Yes.
Later on.
Old John Kermit lived next to...
Yes, that later on.
Oh, that's late. All right.
I haven't mentioned him because...
No, I can... one of the first I can remember living there.
Yes. Well, I felt that you didn't want to be bothered with the up-to-date...
No.
...news. You were interested in the turn of the century.
That's right, yes. Yes.
I might add here, when we're in that part of the parish, I'll take it. The Christians were in our place. And I suppose there was three or four generations of them in our place. You know, the Christians... Norman Christian.
Oh, yes.
His
That's
grandfather
Jimmy's.
And
yes.
Grandfather and they were in our place for 19 years. And the Garys was in place joining us, you see, where, you know, that we have that.
Yes. And Corklesby and Bagold.
Yes.
The other, when the third Bagold.
There was a family called Gilmore's. In Gary's place, and that would be just around about 1890, just before Gary's came to it. Gary's came from Honus to Bigold. The cottages known as Bigold cottages, we were talking a bit about this the other night, were called the bachelor's halls in those days. They were apparently built by two bachelors many years ago, and they were occupied at this time of the turn of the century by three families, the Gordons, the Quirks, and the Collisters. That was when I went to school. The Gales were in Ballyclamert, and I have a note here that I queried that the roof was on the chapel, but the walls was quite good. We can probably, Mother says she remembers the roof once, so she remembers, I could, except that the roof was on it at about 1900, soon after.
Where did Mother come from?
From Laxey. Oh, Ballycowan.
Ballycowan.
Yeah. Now, but she was bad to travel, I think. She was roaming about the whole time. The Cowleys were in Babelo, but they moved to Ballycacken in about 1904. When Jimmy Johnson came from Ballycacken, moved from Ballycacken to Ballycane. The Cowleys went in Ballycacken, right?
Yes.
And G.H. Piercy, of course, was in the Lower Babelo. And then, as an afterthought here, in about the 1900, the house at the bottom of our road, known as the Gary Road, was at that time, and for some time before, was an hotel called the Prince of Wales Hotel.
Oh. You didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't? Well,
no.
Now, if you go out there, you'll see it on the gable of the hotel yet. It's been painted.
Yes.
It's been done up, renovated, I suppose, dozens of times. But that, it'll come out of it. Always when the colouring will fade, the old original halfway house to Laxey, Prince of Wales, right? And it was occupied by a family of name of Collins. Collins, or Collins, was it Collins or Collins' son, Mammy?
Collins.
Collins. Collins' son, it might have been. And later on, and after them, the Gills were there, before they shifted up to the Craig. Right? And they shifted up to the Craig in 1910. I met one of them, Flurry Gill. Annie died. I met Flurry over at the school here at something.
Centenary, probably.
Centenary, that's it. I was showed her, and I wouldn't have known her. She altered tremendously. Now, and Alec Neverson had a slaughterhouse at the bottom of the White Bridge. You remember
yes,
that?
Yes, remember that.
And we must not forget the Shannon Ray on the White Bridge.
That would be the old cottage just below Babelo Moor where Crellin
yes.
lived, who worked for Bobby Gale.
That is correct. Now, the old it was thatched.
Do you remember that, Billy?
Yes, I remember it getting burnt out.
Aye, well, I wouldn't like to say when it was burnt. I have it only about 37, but somewhere in that region. I think it was just before 1940 when Bobby left. Now, here's a little bit. My grandfather, I've heard him tell this, he lived in Machall, down at Port League, and he was in the fishing. He was going to the fishing, like hundreds more in those days. And I'm going back now 150 years anyway. He would be about, I was reckoning up, he would be about 170-odd if he was alive. He was 92 when he died. Jochen, my mother's father. He used to call at the Shannon Ray for a drink. It was then a pub. Yeah. I told them this up when we were planting the tree up there. Were you there? No, I don't remember.
No.
And he was walking from Douglas Ramsey. Walking.
Was he any of the Jockins that Mrs. Bobby Gale's family?
Remotely related. Bobby Gale and Mrs. Bobby Gale and I are related, but well, he was some Mrs. Bobby's wife's father, and my grandfather was some sort of cousins, but I don't know. Not worth talking about.
No.
Willie Jochen used to tell me, there were two Jochens together. You remember Willie?
Yes, yes. Hey, remember him up in Ashley.
And we'll move on from there.
Shannon Ray. It used to be on the right-hand side, going up the Whitebridge Hill, a little place.
Oh, the place that was burned down?
Yes.
Now we'll move on to what I have termed the Hendlebury area. Tommy Cahan, more affectionately known as Tommy the Lark. You've ever heard that on him? He was awfully early in the mornings, known as Tommy the Lark. He was in Ballacotia, and he was followed by his son, Caesar. Jim Coley was in Sledgeby after Bob Kelly went out of it approximately 1905, and Coley sold out of it in 1917, and Jimmy Beale moved from the Clips, right?
Yes.
To Sledgeby.
Yes. Who was in Ballyskelly then?
Yeah. I think I'm coming on that a bit, I think so, 1917. And Jimmy Beale went into it, and the Cretneys, referred to earlier, shifted from Honey Hill to the Clips when Jimmy Beale went out of it, right?
Yes.
Old Willie Stoll, he's long gone too, but there's some of his family still alive, built a bungalow about halfway in Sledgeby Road.
Yes.
Around about 1900. And it's still there. It was part wood and galvanized. It was built on land known as the Glebe. There's a chappy living in it at the present time. I don't know what his, I forget his name now.
I remember the Jamiesons living in it.
Yeah, yes. J.T. Kennell found Ballyskelly.
Don't know him.
No, you wouldn't.
That would be none of Kennell that went to Conkerbury later, would it?
No, no, they were Kennells. There was a son, Seymour Kennell, he farmed
Mommy
and over Malown.
Yes.
And he left Ballyskelly and went out to Athelfia, out of Ballycone. He owned that too. And then the Kellys came into Ballyskelly after that. That's Ernest and Philip Kelly, the Draper's family. And there was a daughter, Emma. Who did she marry? Peters. She married Peters, who gets singers like.
Oh, yes.
The Cashins farmed the Beeches. But that family, of the Cashins family, came from Gubna Gay in the first place. Now the Gubna Gay is Manx for rock on the road. Now, this is a controversy over this. Gubna Gay is usually today is spelt B-double-A, right? Which is Manx for sheep. But the correct spelling, I rather think, is B-Y-A, the Manx for road, mm-hmm. Right? the Bear Big. It comes from not here, it comes up past the school over there. And instead of it being the sheep, but it is spelt B-double-A now, and it should be B-A-Y-A, I think it is, which is Manx for road, and it means rock in the road. It's now derelict, but it is on the left-hand side of the road leading from the hotel to Laxey. And about 1900 to 1903, a family of name of Hudgens farmed Gobnagay, here again, the mouth of the wind. Gobnagay is Manx for gay is wind. It was burnt at about that time. Mother remembers it had been burnt. I have a faint recollection of it. And Bobby Cruche later lived there. That was the Cruche family. I think we go on from there now.
Before you move on, do you remember the railway at Hilbury?
Yes, we're coming to that.
Right, thank you, yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Now, Kate's Cottage, formerly known as the Shepherd's Hut. You know, my father lived up there with a housekeeper, Lyman, at that time when he was shepherd, many years ago. And at that time, it was a single-story cottage. And the first I remember there was a man called MacLaren. He's a Scotchman. And it may be of interest to note here that the old ruins in the fields below Kate's Cottage, called Gilgal. Now, I've heard my father speak of it and the folk who lived there, but I can't remember who they were.
Was that anywhere near Pentecost?
Well, it's on the same land. There's an area of land there. It's Gilgal. And it joins the road from the Craig, the hotel, to Keats Cottage. And it joins Langigan. It's a big triangulus. And it joins Gobnagay. It's quite an area. Tommy McVeigh's got it now, you see.
Yes. When I was a boy, there was a tin bungalow on the road,
yes,
as you went up, and which we called Pentecost.
Yes. Well, that's later on. You were a biggish boy then, though. I think it would be around about near 1930.
About 1925,
yeah.
Yes.
And I can't remember. The first I know of who lived in the Keppel Hotel were people that called the name of Hope. Later by George Preston and then the Gills. And the Gill family went to Onken School with me. Now we move down toward Glenville. At the turn of the century, it was farmed by a man named Wood, and later by Johnny Taggart, who then later went to the Keppel Hotel. And of course, we mustn't forget the Oates family, who farmed Cronkerberry, and who, I understand, give the ground to build Hilbury Chapel, and were regular attendants there, again when I was a boy, going to Hilbury Chapel and Sunday school. And the Cowns of Ballacrink, they're there at least 100 years, I believe.
When we mentioned Johnny Taggart,
yeah.
When did he go to Housetrake?
I don't know. His father before, but it is recorded. I have the proof that when the first parish commissioners was founded in 1894, John Taggart was on the first board of commissioners. That's Johnny Taggart's father. I remember him quite well, and Willie Harry Taggart, who lived in the village here down to the Hague, I think it was. The first board of commissioners was John Taggart, John Shimon, Father Creech, Cowley, the joiner, and Callow, Fred Callow, who lived in Hawthorne Villa. All correct?
Right.
Now then, you ever hear of the fellow that tried to fly from Ballycrink Barn steps?
No.
I'll just pass on that as a person. And oddly enough, he was a chappie with the name of Billy Moore. And he was a great chap, really, different to me. Man of great physique, too. It is told that he did cut Enamona Meadow, a field of 7 acres, and he cut it with the scythe, and he never come out of it. From the time he was in till it was finished. And he was getting, when he was night was coming, I was the whole night in that time. You lay down and the wife was fetching food to him, you lay down, sleep in the hay, and tomorrow and off again.
And where did he live?
He took a notion. I'm not sure of this. I was querying it today. I've got an idea he lived in Robinscroft, say?
Yes.
But I wouldn't like to say I could be wrong there. Well, he got the idea that he could fly. He saw no reason why he couldn't fly. And he made a pair of dullans. Now, you not know what a dullan is? A dullan is the sheep skin of a sheep, which they make into leather, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, they took the wool off it and they cured it, as it were. And that's a dullan. They made buckets and things to carry water and so on. And you say that's what's primitive, but then it. And he made it and fastened them on some sort of a frame. And he got up on Ballycrink Barn steps, the highest building in the parish. And he made a desperate effort. I heard this told in Hillbury Chapel by the very chappie I referred to at the beginning, old Gilbert Jones. He was chairman there at a concert. And he made a great effort, you see. And there are two versions to what happened. First one is that he got as far as the White Bridge. Aye. And he came down in the White Bridge and he was in the hard road to his knees, Gilbert Jones said. And the second version, which I think would be more correct, he came down in the midden. And he was in it to his neck. And that'll do his passing. Now then. Now then, here we go again, a little further. Before we leave Hillbury, it is perhaps worth noting the old pin pound just across the road from the Beeches Farm Gate. You saw it.
Yes.
It's partly demolished now.
Yes.
Yes.
They've been working this winter and it's only just the gate post that's left now of the wall.
It's no longer used. That's where the people used to put the impound, the stray stuff. And we must not forget Ned Madrill. Ned Madrill's slaughterhouse. And it was situated just near the pin pound. You not remember it?
No.
Never heard of it?
No. Was there any of Emily Quine's family living at Hillbury in those days?
Oh, yes. Well, the slaughterhouse, Emily Quine's father lived at in Glenville Cottages.
Oh, yes.
And he worked for the Woods family, the Wood in Glenville. And then they moved to that little cottage there adjoining Hillbury Chapel, where they lived.
They moved again. They used to live up alongside the chapel, and then they moved across the road.
Yes.
To the little cottage at the entrance to Bulla Crink Road.
Well,
eventually,
Emily did.
Yes.
Emily did.
Yes.
And Jim with the crooked neck.
Yes.
But the old people didn't.
No, the old people would die up in
the
other place.
Past the chapel. Ned Madrill had a slaughterhouse there. And I remember this. I helped my father to put lambs and stuff over to this slaughterhouse. He had a butcher's shop in Princess Street or Princess Road in Douglas. I know it's where Kelly is.
Yes.
You know, probably.
Yes,
know.
Princess Avenue.
Yes. And about that time, 1900, the railway track went from Cronkerberry Quarry down to Sir George's Bridge and out to Baldwin to build the Baldwin Reservoir. They took stones from Hillbury Quarry and clay from Ballacreech Clay Dub. As far as I'm going now. Now, we're getting on all right. It's the Abbeylands area now. The Shimon family were in Ballacreech. 1900 and what before that. And it's interesting to note that John Shimon was the second chairman of the parish commissioners, and he was chairman for 18 years. Mm. And they had their meetings in Ballacreech. You know all this, probably, anyway.
That would be R.G.'s father.
And his father.
Yes.
That's correct. He was elected about 1897. The parish commissioners were formed in 1894. In 1904, Fred Callow was chairman for 3 years, and then John Shimon took over, and he was chairman for 18 years. Great man he was. And he also farmed Lower Sulby until it was sold by Jack in 1963. Robbie Cone farmed Upper Sulby before 1980. He was in, when my father first came to the parish, Robbie Cone, that is Joe Cone's father, Harold Cone and Stanley Cone's grandfather.
Yes. 1880.
Yeah. They were there, and how long before that, I don't know, but he was there then. Now, we move up to Lenjigan. Joe Cretney, you asked me this, Joe Cretney farmed Lenjigan, 1900. And he was followed by Bertie Shimon, family the name of Atkinson, and Cleland's bought it in 1918. You asked earlier.
Yes.
And a man named Moore again, they were about, built the house and buildings on Langigan, when I just wouldn't know. A. E. Cowley farmed Lark Hill, and the Lewin family were in Belurga. Now, there's not much more to it. Now, there is also Ballacoyne, two Strenabies, and two Ballacashans on the way up to Langigan, but I know little about these. Some of them are being rebuilt, and there are two or three of them sort of derelict, and I can say much about that.
Who would be in Ballymanick? Where Collett was after.
Oh, aye. Funnily enough, Joe Cretney, when he was in Langigan, farmed Ballymanick and... Yes. But... and he farmed Ballymanick, got this from Jack on the other day there. Well, I'm not familiar with the Labbylands area so much, you see.
No.
The Bridesons farmed Lark Hill before Alfie Cowley. There where you get the... Alfie Cowley married the Brideson, you see.
Yes.
That's where you get this Bridie Kelly from, the name. Now, I have mentioned two slaughterhouses, but there were two more in the parish. There was one up at the Cronk, operated by the butcher, Tinker the Butcher. Now, the Cronk is on, as you know, Birch Hill. It's all built on now. I remember that there, too. And there was another... Ballinard Road.
Yes, I remember the one with the field at Ballinard Road.
Yes, the Kenyaks had it.
But I never knew that the actual Cronk had been a slaughterhouse.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
No. I've got it here. And that's as far as we go. I don't know whether you're interested in the boundary of the parish at that time.
Yes, oh
yes.
If
the commissioner here, he'd probably know all about it, but it was at a meeting that was held on the 2nd of April, 1895, it was decided to form a separate village district. Prior to that, 3 years before that, or the couple of years before that, the whole of the village under the jurisdiction of the parish commissioners. There was no village district at all.
No.
And the boundary to form the village was marked out. It started at Derby Castle and it went up to just around about the new prison. I'm next speaking now. That was the boundary, the then boundary between Onken and Douglas, you see, and it followed that boundary to the new prison. It came along the main road to the Deemster's Bridge, now known as the Governor's Bridge, and past Bermahague Farm front gate. I'm not certain where that is. Is it whether it's just in front or behind, but I think it's behind the big building. A straight line to the nursery hotel. Right?
Yes.
And then along the main road to Wellington Mill. And that is the little mill.
Yes.
Called Wellington Mill that time.
Yes.
And then down the river to Growdle. That was the first boundary of the village district.
Have you any idea how long it is since that mill was in operation?
No. I did see that somewhere in some research we're making. But I can assure you that it's a considerable time ago, because I remember the disease as a kiddie. I came past it every day come to school. And oddly enough, it's very much like it is now.
Oh.
You see?
Just so derelict.
It was a derelict for some time, considerable time.
Do you remember the reservoir in use at Ballochane?
Yes.
Would yes. that would be built before Cleps and Kerridoo?
I would imagine so, but I don't know when it was built. No, I just don't know.
Now, when did you leave Ennemona?
In 1914.
And that was when Father moved in?
Yes.
And really? Was it bought before that by the corporation or after? They originally bought Honey Hill, but did they own Ennemona then?
No, we're talking about that this afternoon. Oh, no. They bought Ennemona when you people went out.
In 21.
Yeah.
Because we had to get out and they pulled it down.
Yes, it was pulled down. No, it's it was a gentleman the name of James Nelson Oates who owned Ennemona. He was quite a figure in...